Okay, now we're doing part two of the review, which is the basically concerns ourselves with Jeffrey Moore's late Jeffrey Moore's organization, known as the Economic Cycle Research Institute, abbreviated as ECRI. I have a link down there, but you can just do a Google search on it, and you can probably find a whole bunch of stuff about his history and so forth. And I've started to do that, but I'm busy with other projects, and perhaps somebody would like to take a look at that. And if you see something that interests you, I would suggest that you do something up and then drop me off a message and save me the trouble of going through it. At the outset, most of us who are in the technical field don't pay a lot of attention to the economic indicators, because the stock market tends to run ahead of the it's always late, and so people don't do that. The thing you have to understand, to put things into perspective in here, is that there are actually two organizations that watch the business cycle. There is a different organization which you probably have heard of, is the National Bureau of National Bureau of Economic, what was it, the NBR? It's the National Bureau of Economic Research. It was headed up by Martin Feldstein for a long time. It's located in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it takes care of the various economic talent from all of the universities in the area. And they do an academic view of it, which means that they're not in any big rush to tell you that the business cycle, what they call the business cycle, has turned down or it's bottomed out. But they're very much interested in delving into the details in order to understand what was going on. So it's a low-key, light type of a forecast that doesn't have a lot to do with what we're interested in following the stock market. That organization, which I checked out, has stated that there was a turndown in the cycle, according to their analysis, and their last meeting, which I think was in March or April, they have not yet found a bottom to the. They have not yet confirmed that there is an end to the economic contraction. That doesn't mean too much as far as the our application to the stock market, because they're thinking about it and they want to take a long time and not have to get whipsawed with it. It is interesting, however, that they can't find it. Now, when you go to the Economic Cycle Research Institute, Jeffrey Moore's idea was to produce a rapidly moving indicator that would have some application to the investment world, but would not come at it technically, but from the fundamental side. And he has produced, in the two PDF files that we have here, two concepts. The longer-term concept is the business cycle peaks and troughs, and the shorter-term concept is the growth rate cycle peaks and trough dates, and they come in two different PDFs. Also, each PDF has two pages to it. Page one, let's talk about the business cycle peaks and troughs first. That PDF file, the left file shows periods. It starts from. That particular period is starts in 1948, and it goes down to 2009. And it says business cycle peaks, which is a long-term indicator. The second after the dates is this peak or trough. And then it's United States is the first column. It does Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Germany, France. It goes into Europe. And then if you go over to page two, you find out all of the categories for Asia. If you go to the website, you see that Jeffrey Moore did was he took... and he formed three kinds of indicators: as the leading indicator, the coincident indicator, and the lagging indicator. And what they're doing is using the relationship between those three in order to better define what the cycle peak is. His philosophy was to produce these indicators every week, and every week was to provide them with a better, more timely forecast for people who might be interested in actually making financial transactions, as opposed to an academic interest in it. So that's why the people follow this one, and the National Bureau of Economic Research is basically belongs to the research people, and this is more or less to the people that are making the trades and so forth. Just to bring you up to date here, the United States peak of the last cycle is 12 of 07, so that turn down in the business cycle is given as December of 07. It's a pretty good top date, because if you look at the advanced decline T top date for the 12th, it would be in the basically in the September period, and December is pretty good too. That's the same year. And if you look for the trough, there is no trough indicated. As I mentioned before, the academics can't find a trough that is a low point in the economic cycle, and neither can they. So as far as we know, there is no no particular reason to believe that there is a problem. If you go back and you look at the earlier one, their claim is that you started a business cycle peak in 3 of 01, which would be market 01. That's basically when the dot-com bubble burst, and 1101 was the low, and that is a I make mention of that when we go to the advanced decline line. That there's the advanced decline line was rising coming out of after right after the after that 1101. Period, that the investor timeline was arriving. It's called the odd case in there. But so they claim that the cycle turned up in 01. We know the market didn't turn up until later on. But then they're saying they did get that part right of the 1207. The business cycle has turned down, and they have not come up with anything to turn up. Now, if you go through Canada, Mexico, and all the other areas, and then you go into the Asia, you find different forecasts. Those might be of interest to you if you are interested in emerging markets or something like that. And I'm not sure whether just getting this stuff free is going to give you a timely forecast, but, you know, it costs $90. I spend $90 to get the Barron's online issue, and then that way I don't have I have access to back issues and so forth. And so I think that's probably the only thing. The Wall Street Journal and the other papers, all they're doing is lifestyle stuff and public, interesting stories and so forth that don't really get you into the nitty gritty on it. So I say that's $90 well spent on that one. Okay, so that's one PDF, and that's identified as the business cycle. The growth rate cycle, which was the second one, is laid out in the same format. It goes from 49 to the present. It does have peak and trough dates, and theirs are pretty interesting too. It's the third column is for the United States. You go Canada, you go through into Europe, and then if you look at page two, which I don't have printed out in front of me because that's the Asian markets, but you might find those to be pretty interesting. The question as to whether you want to use these dates is in the United States column, for example, relates to whether that these will be correlated with the advanced decline T's, which is still my best error. The problem with advanced decline T's is that they can't find bottoms, and this process zones has a bottom on 309, which is a growth. This is, I believe, this is the leading indicator of the which is the fastest moving one. And if you go to the website, you'll see that when plotted, and you can see it's quite volatile and so forth. But assuming you can get those numbers, I think that they're probably going to turn out to be quite interesting. If you go to the look at the growth rates going into the last low, you have a let's see where we have to go back here. You got a peak in January of 98, then a low of in 9, and these very much correspond to my advanced decline T's. Then you have a top in April of 2000, and a bottom 1101. I believe that's just the oversold condition from the attack on the 12 on the Twin Towers. There was a sell off that was so bad, and then there was a rebound there, and the rebound was the relief that that nobody invaded the country or something like that. Then you got another sell on the growth rate in 702. That's the one that's going to go down to 203, which is what was basically was I think it was mid-March of 03 was the actual low that they're looking for. Okay, then you've got a peak in 304, and it declined down to 8 of 05, a peak in January of 06 based on this rapidly moving growth thing. And then you finally get so that's a peak, and then you have the trough on 309, which is the March low, which we saw before. And the question is this all this talk that's going around here about the long-term indicator turning going to zero, is that going to be a new peak for the next segment in the table? Well, I haven't really delved into this to a great degree, so I wouldn't say that. But it's not good news. Okay, so that was the point of the article. And what we need to do here is to get more information on this. And basically, what I do is I have all these dates, and I can make them appear on my chart of the 200-year chart by simply including. You know, when they're positive, you put a 1 in, and when they're negative, you put a minus 1 in, and you correlate the signals and the transition zones when you went from positive to negative, or when you peak, in other words, peak or trough, against the oscillators and the Dow Jones Industrial Average or anything else that I put in there. And you're going to start to see things that are really interesting. And you can also put these into interest rates, because obviously a contraction is for lower long-term interest rates, which is for capital appreciation in the bond market. We run a program which is called Best Bond. I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with gold, but you could look at it, and you might find that this is probably pretty interesting. For example, if you go out in the page 2, you'll find that the first column that they're looking at is China. China is the largest economy in the world, so if you're going to look at the United States, you probably ought to look at China too, because the China engine growth ever sputters. You know, it's not going to look too good over here either, because they're becoming the number one economic force. So my plan here is to take the United States and the China and work out the two indicators together and so forth. So that pretty much tells the story. I do think that the big use of this here, though, is that you want to know about it because it's a good indicator, and number two, there's a lot of people with a lot of money, and if it lurches, you're going to get a lot of lurching in the investment world, and that's going to sort of cause the oscillators and that we use the volume oscillators over to go make big lurches, and you kind of want to see them coming along the way. I also think that when things blow over here, you're always going to want to look at China as the area that you want to get into, not now, but at a later date. So is basically the plan is to take all of these things and try to correlate them with my regular indicators and look at the very, you know, for the U.S., we're primarily interested in the U.S., but you want to find out what, to a first approximation, China could be going on a slightly different drummer, and that could tell you something, because if they get to be too strong, they're going to become the leading indicator, and the U.S. won't be the leading indicator. Okie dokie. So that's the story on the review. I hope you enjoy me going through all this stuff, but I do spend a lot of time trying to track things down, and I do think that the ECRI is a major find, because they reveal what their stuff is. The Dorsey stuff is interesting. Never get to it, but Randall Forsyth will probably just drop in a hint whenever something happens there, so that will be sufficient on picking that up. And so now we're going to take the forecast of the changeover, which is potentially that the growth indicator for ECRA is just, incidentally, on Friday, no, Thursday you had this big rally, okay? Then on Friday, what happened is that you get hit with two negatives. One of them was that the retail sales took a sudden drop. That occurred on the that occurred, I think that was probably done at 8:30. So when the market opened up, it started to open up down. It opened down because that was an unexpected negative of fundamental importance. Okay, but at 10:30 or thereabouts, 10 o'clock, 10:30, the ECRI indicator announcement that it went negative occurred. Probably doesn't mean anything to individual investors, but I assume that it's a big deal now, because on Monday, when the big people get together, the big institutions get together, they're going to be faced with this report, which they spent a lot of money on, telling you that something just happened. It's not good news, okay? And because they're kind of slow moving, it looks to me like what they're going to do is start going into they're going to make a discussion and reach an agreement to go into a sell mode. And so this pop-up in here is going to run into a group of people that are suddenly have got a warning. It may not have tremendous impact, because they saw that the indicator was falling anyway. So it's not a big deal. But it does limit the bounce that you're likely to see next week. And, of course, we'll cover that on Wednesday, so after we see a couple more days of activity. Okay, so that's the end of the review, and now what we do is we carry this over into the big advanced decline T's, where I'm going to say that what I'm essentially saying is that this latest turn down in the Economic Cycle Research Institute's short fastest moving growth indicator is going to cause a drop in the July time period past the Woody Dorsey tendency to recover into a bottom that you establish not by means of anything that's in here, but by the relationship of the advanced decline line to the 200-day moving average, which is basically an oscillator. And if you can get down there going into July, early August, there is a way to get that out and come back and complete the forecast of the August 26th top date. And it's not a good idea to just watch this little recovery we have and go by, because you don't know what's going to happen on the I know how severe the drop is going to be or how weak the recovery is going to be, but it's a different way to look at it, and so that it's a pure technical area. So from now on, we just go on with the T theory and so forth. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed the two items of research, and there's something new showing up every week. And so we'll continue that as a part of our top view, beginning the view.